the winds, the weight. I wonder what messages the dead would have for us now. If we had not lost Lewis Graydon Sullivan to AIDS complications in 1991, he would be 69 years old today. Lou came of age in San Francisco in the mid-70s and 80s, where he volunteered as a phone counsellor, founded the newsletter FTM International, and facilitated peer support groups, amongst other undertakings. As noted in his prolific personal diaries, which he kept from age 11, he was often up all night responding to letters from trans people around the world who were largely coming out for the first time. For Lou, language began and ended in the body as he sought to find descriptors to fit his own experience in the world. Lou's community, activists, archival, and personal work were inseparable. Throughout his life, he was consistently deferred from accessing vital gender-affirming care because of his sexuality. The medical establishment didn't believe it was possible for a trans man to be attracted to other men. Lou knew too well the preciousness of time, but he also believed in the possibility of himself. Near the end of his life, he made the terrifying statement, "They told me at the gender clinic that I could not live as a gay man, but it looks like I will die as one." What does it mean when the glimpses of a life as possible are full of corpses? What does it mean to inherit mourning, to disavow it, or to accept it as a responsibility? What does it mean to listen? And what does it mean to hear? Being trans is a unique kind of organ. I am speaking materially. I am speaking about hereditary. A trans enters through the hole. The hole glows in the linden. A trans enters ether like a moth. While trans proceeds, essence, her form is contingent on the field. The manor sits cis within a field. We speak into the ether while the moth blooms in the euchre. Joss Charles is speaking about the body, specifically the trans body, its materiality and its histories. In poem 24, I hear movements of passing through spaces, willfully yet unconsciously, like the knowingness of an organ or of entering through a hole that you can't see the end of because the ether within is burning so bright. Guided by intuition, hereditary, something inherited and genetic, we follow, intuitively, what we want to be in relation to, or at least we try to get close. Joss speaks of architectures of space, our form being contingent on the size and shape of the field or the feld around oneself. Joss's work is in large part a clearing of the field, ready for something new to emerge. We can read both into and out of Joss's words and their interruption by or expulsion out of the forward slash, a punctuation device that permeates throughout field. This punctuation mark can be thought of as a vertical line that has been pushed from behind to fall forward or kicked from in front to jolt backwards, leaving it vulnerable and destabilized, yet holding presence and demanding a pause. Feld is a place of mourning and a site of clearing, two undertakings not in opposition. Words carry pressures in the sonics of her voice, our voice, as we attempt to read. Oral or aural, both are feeble, shaky. The words of Feld have weight and history. They offer us the images, labours and lives that carry them, maybe as a way to help us carry them too. Joss speaks of the collection as enabling mourning for the personal losses, housing, a job, cis friends from when I transitioned, trans friends who were killed, and the broader losses that orchestrated the personal ones. She says, to mourn for them would mean to acknowledge the loss and accept a kind of responsibility to it. I ask not how do we survive a crisis, but how do we mourn those that did not? How do we share the work of mourning? How much room do we need to do so, and who do we need there? How do we carry the legacy, pain, touch, voice, and warmth of those gone?